Well, hi there. Glad to have you with us, those of you who are here and those of you who are listening to this over the internet around the world. We're going to be talking about believers and that believers are harvesters. So the title of this session is We Are the Harvesters, and our scripture is found in the Gospel of John, verses in the fourth chapter of John, verses 27 through 42. Now, this scripture, to give you a little background, this scripture is Jesus is on a journey, and he's going through Samaria. And the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything really to do with each other, and he stops at a well. And when he stops at the well, he encounters this lady from the town who has come out of the town to Jacob's well to draw some water, and his disciples have gone off, and they are... they're buying some food for them to eat. And they come back and they find Jesus talking to this woman, which is very unusual for the time because, first of all, women did not talk to anybody that they had not been introduced to, and that a man and a woman would never converse unless, you know, there were some members of her family with her, this sort of thing. So in verse 27, this is what happens when about the time that the disciples are rejoining Jesus. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe with harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." You know, harvesters have such an important part in the cycle of sowing and reaping. Both the sower and the reaper are an important part of the cycle of life and the sustaining of life. You see, if nobody sows, nobody reaps. And if nobody reaps, nobody sows. Because the seed to sow comes from the reaping, and the reaping comes from the seed sown. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but that's the way it works. If you plant just one kernel of corn and it grows, now I know for you gardeners out there, I know you can't do it that way. You have to plant corn in a clump. You can't plant it in a row. You can't put one row. You have to put it in a clump so that it will pollinate. But from each of those kernels of corn that are planted, how many kernels of corn will be produced? I think you'd have to agree with me that there would be much more corn that could be harvested than that which was planted. That's an increase. That is the way God planned everything to happen. You plant and you reap. You sow and you reap. Now Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Now what an astonishing statement this must have been as it fell on the ears of the disciples. How surprised they must have been to hear that. You know, and it's kind of surprising still to hear it today. The disciples had just returned from going to procure food. They'd gone out to buy some food so they could all eat now and take care of their physical needs. Their physical needs would be met because they went out and got some food. But when they return, what happens? They see Jesus engaging the conversation with a woman who, by the way, did not meet the standards of propriety. In other words, this gal just wasn't good enough, really, to be with them or around them. Didn't meet their standards. But even though they did not understand why he would be talking to this Samaritan woman. Now remember, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, and the reason they didn't was the Samaritans were a mixture of Jews and other tribes. And God had instructed the Hebrew children to keep their bloodlines pure. They could marry within their tribe or within the 12 tribes, but they were not to marry outside those tribes. Well, the Samaritans were people who were the descendants of Hebrew children who had done that very thing. So therefore, they did not meet the standards of the Jews. You know, so the disciples are wondering about this, I'm certain, but you see, they had no doubt learned from past encounters that Jesus always had a reason for his actions, no matter how outside the box. No matter how strange it seemed, Jesus had a reason for what he was doing. Now, here he is. He's engaged in this conversation. And what happens? This spirit of religion wells up inside these disciples, and they're going, "Oh, boy." The same thing happens today. We can sometimes become so religious that we forget that our faith is a relationship, not a religion. But when people have a religion, then they tie into law, law, law. But the relationship with Christ is not a relationship of law. It is a relationship of grace. It is a relationship of doing to others what you would have them do to you. It is a relationship of loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, everybody likes to hear this love part. Makes them feel good. But they don't evaluate sometimes the religion that crops up in their life. So this is what's happening with the disciples at this point. You see, while the disciples were concerned with the physical needs, you know, they were just being realistic. You got to eat, Jesus. You know, here, have something to eat. While they're concerned with that, the woman leaves Jesus at Jacob's well. Now, she leaves him there to go back into town to tell what's happened. What does she leave there with Jesus? She leaves the clay jar or pot that she was carrying to go get the day's water that she was going to take back to her home. Now, she's living with a man, and she's been married to four others, and Jesus has told her all of this. And she's now going back to tell people what's happened. So she's back in there telling them that this man is the Messiah. Now, I want you to notice what happened here. Remember now, the disciples have been tied up with their natural purpose. You know, they were dealing with the natural needs by going to get the food. And this woman at the well, by the way, I want you to notice something. This is one of the most famous women in the world, and nobody knows her name. I bring that up to say to you, you may end up doing great things in the kingdom and nobody will ever know your name. Your name may never be recorded except in God's book. So back to the woman. Now, she was dealing with the natural purposes. She went to fetch water for the day's physical needs, just as the disciples had gone to fetch food for physical needs. You see, she does this, but her real needs, the spiritual needs that she's yearned to satisfy, no doubt through her whole life, her eternal needs have been met by Jesus. She went out and she encountered Jesus, and there she was. There she was. How many times do we get so tied up in meeting the physical needs? Just being realistic now, we all have our bills to pay. We all have the food that we need to have. We have our various needs that need to be met. And we spend our time meeting those needs, ignoring that the Word of God says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to us. Because, and I will tell you something, my friends, you can tell who has the greatest faith. And where that greatest faith is, you see, everybody has great faith. You may say, oh, well, I don't have great faith. Well, let me tell you, you may have great faith and not realize it. Because if you're spending all of your time taking care of yourself, and then if there's anything left over, if there's any time left over, and I'm not talking about money and tithes and things here, I'm talking about time. If there's anything left over, then you'll give it to God. But somehow, you just can't seem to find any time. Oh, if I had time, I would do this. I don't know. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, if I had time, oh, I would do this and I would do that and that. And they have time and they don't do it. They have 168 hours a week, but they don't do it. Because they're deceived. Because you see, they deal with how they feel without ever evaluating the facts of their life. Now, no doubt, this woman at the well had done the same thing. She was with a man now who made her feel good. She felt perhaps comfortable. She felt like everything was going well in her life. She'd gone to fetch water. And she encounters Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus brings her into a reality check with her life. But he doesn't do it to destroy her or put her down or make her feel so badly about herself. But he does it in such a supernatural way that she cannot help but listen and attend to this encounter. At some point, because of what she goes back and tells the people in the town, we know that she realizes this was a divine encounter. Now notice, she wasn't going to the well for a divine encounter, but there it was anyway. Perhaps you might be seeking a divine encounter, but if you just went about your daily appointed tasks, now I'm not saying not to be seeking God first. For all we know, the Scripture doesn't tell us here. She may have been having some sort of an experience of, my life's got to change. Maybe this wasn't a good relationship, and she's going, man, I've messed up again. Maybe she's going, I need help. We don't know. But we know this. While she was going about her daily tasks, she encountered God Himself in the physical form of Jesus the Christ. So then, this woman returning from the well, where she had gone for temporal water, now herself becomes the vessel of clay. Isn't that what we are? Are we not made from the dust of the earth? this woman herself becomes the vessel of clay holding the water of salvation and the gift of eternal life. She goes into the town so excited. How long has it been since you've been so excited about what Jesus did for you that you just drove everybody in town just nuts telling them about it? You know, that's what fans do. Wait a minute. I know. People who go to football games are fans, and people who talk about Jesus all the time are fanatics. But you see, fanatics is a form of being a fan. But when you get the when you think in terms of what is socially correct, suddenly being a fanatic for Jesus is bad, but a fan of football or baseball or hockey or whatever is good. Racing, I don't know, whatever. But this woman has now herself become the vessel of clay. We've stepped into the spiritual, and here this person who was carrying a clay vessel to go get natural water is now a clay vessel holding supernatural water, holding spiritual water. And she goes back into that town with the story of eternal life. Now that's a compelling report. And it is certain to gain the ear of nearly every person she would encounter. Can you imagine? This woman is the outcast of the town, probably. Let me touch on that for a minute. You see, these are the people. These are the people that God uses. If you think, well, I'm nothing, I will never be able to do much, why would anybody listen to anybody like me? You have found yourself, my friend, deceived by Satan. Because every single person that you find in the Bible that God used mightily, take a look at them. Moses was a stutterer and said why he couldn't do that. Gideon is hiding from the enemy, terrified, in a wine press, trying to grind some wheat to make some bread. And when encountered by the angel of the Lord, he says, I'm the biggest wimp in the wimpiest tribe of the whole bunch. And of course, God is going, exactly, that's why I chose you. Because when you do it, everybody knows it had to be God. If you're a person with no skill and suddenly you're accomplishing things beyond what anybody considers, including yourself, your skill and ability level, you're a vessel of God. You're like this woman going back into town. You're the vessel of clay that God is using. Now, you have to be willing to be used. This woman was willing because she was so shocked, no doubt, by what she heard. When she went in and said, this man has told me everything I ever did. In other words, Jesus was employing the words of wisdom and words of knowledge that are gifts of the Spirit. You see, that's a compelling reason. Now, those of you who have heard me before know that I tell people that to evangelize, you don't have to go out and tell people what miserable wretches they are. A miserable wretch knows they're a miserable wretch. As a matter of fact, a miserable wretch will try to make you a miserable wretch too. They're the ones who will call you a fanatic. They're the ones who will gradually siphon you off from the kingdom. Until one day you turn around and say, how did I get here? That can be a shocking experience. Now, what happened when she went into town? You see, Jesus said, he told us to go into the highways and the hedges. Now, I told you that this message is entitled, We Are the Harvesters. And he told us to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And you've heard me say, compel does not mean break their arm off and beat them over the head with a bloody stump until they capitulate. There are other groups that do that. Those are religions. They're built on laws and rules, judgments. Make no mistake about it, God judges. But the scriptures also tell us if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we have to stop every little bit and evaluate where we are. When she went into the town, basically their response was, hey, let's go. Those who heard her report, which was what? A testimony, were immediately ready to follow her to her Messiah. They wanted what she had received while fetching water. The disciples, however, through all this, were stuck in reality. You know, just being realistic, Jesus, you got to eat. They were stuck in reality. Let me tell you, every time you step out for Jesus, there will be somebody, maybe they claim to be a Christian, maybe they are a Christian, depends on where they are in their growth, who will try to suck you back into reality. Now, what reality tends to be is the world's system. Because we're raised to think in that sort of a manner. So their reality is, hey, you've got to be able to do this in order to do this, and this has to happen. And they start preaching to you the gospel of the world, which isn't a gospel at all. But they just tell you, hey, you got to get realistic here. So the disciples were stuck in reality as the prophetic is being brought into the present. Many people today, many people in many fellowships and churches around the world are stuck in reality while the prophetic is occurring all around them. All you have to do is watch the news and then open up your Bible to Daniel. Open up your Bible to Revelation. Just open up your scriptures to the prophets and you're going to find out that what you're seeing now in the news, you can read about 4,000 years ago in the scripture. Now, Jesus tells his disciples the hard work of sowing and tending and watering has been done. You say, oh no, I just know that going out and doing this, I know doing these things for the Lord, that's going to be hard work. Let me tell you, it's only going to be hard work because you have to overcome, in the Western world, a Christianized culture rather than a culture of Christians. Because I will tell you that Christian radio and Christian television many times has already done the hard work. They've gone out there and they have spent money sometimes that they didn't have and God miraculously supplied it in order to pave a way for you to go harvest. They've planted the seeds out there. All you have to do is go out and harvest them. And now, you see, the scriptures has come into truth because there are people out there sowing into mankind. And they're planting out there, and you're able to harvest as well. You may be planting and harvesting at the same time. If you're supporting these people, praying for them, there for them, you may be sowing and harvesting simultaneously, just as the scripture said. But those people who will tell you to be realistic, to get real, you say to them, show me that in the scriptures. And you're going to find out you're talking to a bunch of ignorant people. Not stupid people, but ignorant, deceived people who think that the world system is the right way to do everything. We can see that right now on Wall Street. We know all the brilliant people on Wall Street, you know, what a kind of a mess have they created. So I would tell you, my friends, you take another look at that, be realistic. The only realistic in the world is that which ties directly into the scripture and is based on the scripture. My friends, we must have a biblical worldview. And that is what happened with this woman. She's going out to do her normal, realistic things that has to be done. But in the process, she lays down the realistic vessel that she's carrying of clay and becomes a spiritual vessel of clay and goes back in. And the people come out and they say, come and stay with us a while. And as a result of that, other people believe. Now, the people of Sychar first believed because of this unnamed woman's report. They then invited Jesus to stay with them. They believed first. Now, listen to me. They believed first because of the woman's report. Report what? Testimony. Now, see, you could say to a person in the world, I want to report what the Lord has done for me. And they might listen to that, but I'll bet you that in this Christianized culture, if you say, I want to testify, oh, you must be one of those Jesus fanatics. See, because they've been vaccinated. They've been vaccinated. Be careful that you have not been vaccinated as well. There are people going around giving free vaccinations to Christians every day. So they invited Jesus to stay with them, which he did for 2 days. And they believed first because of the woman's report. But by the end of the 2 days, the people reported to the woman that the reason for their faith was no longer her report alone, but because they had met the source of her faith personally. That's when you give the report, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, our report. But when it transfers from us, and this comes as a growth process, when it transfers from us that now they first believe because of our report, but when it goes to, I now believe because of my relationship with Jesus, the harvest has occurred. And the harvested becomes the seed for harvesting. And so the sower and the harvester are working side by side. But in verse 42 there, in John chapter 4, this is what they said to the woman. Let me read it to you. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. What a vessel of clay she was. Now, ask yourself, am I a vessel of clay? Am I someone that Jesus has talked to, and am I running around my town telling people what he did for me? Am I like this unnamed woman who was so outside the box that the disciples were shocked that Jesus was even talking to her? Am I this supposedly worthless person that Jesus found so much value in that she became the vessel of clay to take the living water to her community? Perhaps you're that. But perhaps it took this time listening to what the Lord gave me for you to realize it. Perhaps no one's ever challenged you on this before. Let me tell you, my friends, if you never have a challenged life, you don't have a life. And that life will hardly be worth ever having lived. So now listen. Let's go to the Lord. And let's praise Him. And let's ask Him if we've been a leaky vessel, let's ask Him to patch those leaks in us. And let us carry the living water everywhere we go. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, that's right, Heavenly Father, I come to you thanking you for Jesus the Christ, your Son, who is the Messiah, who came to save me, to bring about my salvation, my healing, and my deliverance from this world system, and to bring me into your kingdom of blessing. And where I have fallen short, missed the mark, yes, sinned, I apologize. But I'm more than sorry, Heavenly Father. I repent. I turn around and change and get back in your plan. And I thank you for the grace provided me through the blood of Christ on the cross, that I am not a waste, but that I am a vessel that you can and you will use. I ask you to use me, to flow through me. Let your living water flow from my belly everywhere I go. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, we have a lot of people who just need a fire rekindled in their hearts. I hope this message has been encouraging to you. If it hasn't been, I've either failed to deliver it, or you somehow have not been able to hear what I was saying. But you can go on the internet and you can listen to it again and again. You can download it. You can own it. Doesn't cost you anything. I don't charge for any of these messages. They're given to me freely by God, and I give them freely to you. So now, my friends, it's been great being with you. And I'll pronounce this blessing on you, and this time together will be passed. But you can go on the internet, and you can listen to it or download it and soak it up again and again. So here, my friends, is the blessing of our Lord on you, our Lord Jesus the Christ, on you and all that's yours, all that is yours, by blood, by adoption, or by assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.